Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, September 13th. And we couldn't get Pistons mascot Hooper on the phone today, but we got the next best thing. And this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA and for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine as training camp inches closer. And today we're going to be talking a little Team USA basketball and update how a couple of Pistons are doing with the program coming up here in the next few days. We're also going to talk to Diane Ferranti, the Pistons Vice President of Production and Programming, about the Pistons mascot Hooper and how that job has grown over time. We're also going to talk to my buddy Paul Costanzo about Dan Fife, the retiring Clarkston basketball coach who he covered, Paul did, for the last couple of state titles, and talk to him about his podcast as well, The Three Gas Bags. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that as well, and give us a follow for the Locked On Pistons account as well, and then check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. But Henry Ellenson and Reggie Hearn back in Las Vegas after spending the beginning of the summer in Las Vegas as well at Summer League. They are staying busy as Pistons training camp approaches. Ellenson of the Pistons and Hearn of the Grand Rapids Drive are among 12 players right now with the USA Basketball World Cup qualifying team. That team opens second round play on Friday against Uruguay in Las Vegas. And hopefully for Ellenson's sake, this trip to Vegas goes a little better for him than Summer League did. He shot very poorly, famously, over Summer League. And Reggie Hearn will be with that team as well. Reggie's been playing with Team USA and Jeff Van Gundy, the coach of that team, for a couple of summers now, so they are familiar with the program. The team will also play against Panama on Monday, just two games in this portion of qualifying. This is the big boys, by the way. This is for the FIBA World Cup, which is coming up next year in 2019 in China, and this is the way for the team to qualify for that. So, but USA Basketball has a structure where it doesn't call in the LeBrons and the Durants of the world until they are needed. So with Uruguay and Panama on the schedule this week, that does not necessarily qualify for that. I will be watching the Virgin Islands, keeping tabs on that team. As you know, I used to live there, if you are a regular listener of this podcast, and I root for those guys. So they're playing against Venezuela today. So go VI. And they never could get St. Croix native Tim Duncan to play for them. He played in the 2004 Olympics for Team USA, losing to Argentina in that semifinals. His San Antonio Spurs teammate Manu Ginobili and the Argentinians went on to win gold. And Duncan went on to choose the USA path for his national team experience. And how that works is you can't switch back and forth. So even though he's from the USVI and could have chosen to play for either team, he went with Team USA instead, which is really too bad when you think about it. Team USA didn't really need Tim Duncan, and turns out they won the bronze in 2004 anyway, so it doesn't even really make that much of a difference for them, and the USVI could have really used the big man. So you would have hoped that maybe in those kind of situations that players like Tim Duncan choose to play for the homeland, and the USVI being a territory of the U.S., he's still a U.S. citizen and could play for either one. I don't mean to rip Tim Duncan. He can do whatever he chooses with his national team experience, but you'd almost hope that the island nations, and I guess the territory, such as the USVI, would get more of the locals to play for their team instead. And as we know, the USVI and Puerto Rico, although being U.S. territories, have their own Olympic committees and Olympic programs and all that. But the Locked On Network, we are on the college campuses now. We launched some of the favorite colleges out there throughout the country: Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, and BYU. Check them out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow them for free. The Locked On Podcast Network expanding to those teams. We got Locked On Wolverines starting sometime in the next week or so. I'll have more details soon about that. Also, some rumblings going on about Locked On Spartans that I'm excited to talk about in the near future as well. But up next, we're going to be talking to Diane Ferranti, the Vice President of Production and Programming with the Detroit Pistons, about Hooper and what her team is up to in the offseason as we look ahead to the 2018-19 Pistons season. But you've heard me talk about advertising, and guess what? I'm actively looking for more partners now that I'm back in Detroit. If your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 and 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. All sorts of daily dedicated listeners. If you're interested in reaching that group, email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
All right, and we tried to get Hooper, but he's not much of a podcast interviewee. But the next best thing is Diane Ferranti, the Vice President of Production and Programming for the Detroit Pistons. Diane, thanks for taking the time to talk to us here on Locked On Pistons today.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, since Hooper doesn't speak, he's not the best for a podcast.
But Diane, are you kind of like his spokesperson in some ways? Is that part of your job duties with the Pistons?
Well, I don't know that I'd say spokesperson for Hooper per se, but I work very closely with him. So I think that I can fill in any blanks that you would need to know about him.
Well, we appreciate having you on today. Like I said, the Vice President of Production and Programming. I saw a Crane's Detroit Business story that caught my eye where Bill Shea talked about the mascots throughout the city of Detroit, including obviously Hooper in there. And I saw that he had a $10,000 costume budget throughout the year. That's a lot of money. He's kind of a diva. Is that the way that you'd characterize him around the office there with all that money?
Very much so. That's a pretty good clothing budget, right? He does a lot of work and his hair alone is kind of expensive. So I think, we've got to keep his hair done. And if you've ever seen his shoes are quite large as well. So they tend to add to the cost of his clothing allowance.
Well, you got to keep those stars happy throughout the year, as we
You're
know.
You're so right.
But with the evolution of mascots over the years, Diane, it used to be, I would imagine, kind of a part-time gig where you show up at the games and high-five some kids, but it's become a very big part of what you guys do in terms of marketing for the franchise. Can you let us know how that's maybe developed over time with the responsibilities and the opportunities that a mascot like Hooper has out there?
It really has developed. You know, it used to be kind of the mascots filled in a timeout or, you know, entertained at halftime. And then I think as popularity grew and across the board with mascots, not just necessarily Hooper, but the requests became so much more. And now I'll tell you, sometimes we feel like the work that Hooper does off the court is almost more important than the work he does on. You know, the request for appearances from Hooper is well over 200 to 300 per year. So he goes out into the community a lot and he works on all of our CR platforms and in addition does a ton of birthday parties. So birthday parties are big with mascots, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's a lot of requests from big Pistons fans out there. And you mentioned the birthday parties. I'm guessing I know of big Michigan State fans, for instance, who have Sparty come out to the wedding. I'm guessing he's maybe done one or two of those for big Pistons fans over the days as well. Is there any other unusual events that he has taken part in over the years?
I will tell you one thing that people probably don't realize. Hooper has, and I'm not kidding here, Hooper has a huge following in China. He's done, on behalf of the NBA, he's gone over to China a few different times and done performances over there at various basketball games that the league has held. And for some reason, he is really, really, really popular in China.
That's funny. That's interesting. And I know the league is obviously getting bigger and continues to grow over there, but it's interesting that they would be drawn so much to mascots as opposed and Hooper in particular, as opposed
Hooper
to
in particular, to, yeah. Hooper in particular, like they requested him to come back two additional times from the first time he went. So yeah, he really, really was a big hit in China.
Now, Diane, I know that the identity is kind of kept secret and for good reason, but what are some of the things that you can tell us about Hooper and maybe behind the scenes a little bit and how that has changed? I know the article mentioned that there's been about five or six, if I recall, handlers, I guess, for lack of a better term, of Hooper over the years?
Performers. We've had five performers since Hooper was introduced. It's interesting because each of the performers brings a different skill set. And I think, you know, like any job, the performance tends to play towards the strength of the skill set. You know, we've had some performers who come in and are really, really good dancers. We've had a few that are very, very athletic. And I think it just kind of depends on the way that the franchise is using the mascot specifically. For us, Hooper is geared towards a lot of our kind of more comical programming, definitely geared more towards our younger audience. And he's not, you know, he's got a little bit of a maniacal side, but not too much of a troublemaker. You know, there are a lot of mascots out there that are, their personalities are just that kind of troublemaker, always looking to you know, bother somebody. And Hooper, I would say, kind of falls in the middle where he's got a little bit of a mischievous side, but for the most part is just kind of a good guy and a good team ambassador.
Well, we enjoy his work throughout the season. And if Hooper is listening, keep up the good work. And we appreciate that. But you mentioned some of the roles that he does throughout the year. And during the off season, you guys had him taking part in a fun thing online through social media where the schedule came out for the Pistons. And Hooper took part in filming some short videos online for each team, kind of poking fun and maybe getting the rivalries going for some of the teams in some funny ways. And it grew into a contest where fans voted on their favorite one. Can you talk about how that all came about and how that project went for you guys?
It did. And, you know, we were really overwhelmed by the success of this program. So first off, I'll say that. It started out with a conversation that we had in the office about our schedule release and how to draw attention to the fact that the schedule was coming out and, you know, bring attention to the, you know, everybody has their dates, right? When the schedule comes out, you look for the teams you want to see and you look for the games you want to come to. And we really just wanted to come up with a clever way of delivering that information. So, you know, it started with kind of a couple of, you know, for the Miami Heat, we could do this. And then our creative team really started building on it and really started thinking on it. And they literally went through every team in the league and came up with a concept for a video and then went out and executed. And I will tell you, some of them, I have never laughed in my office. I mean, I laughed out loud at some of them. My favorite, I think, is the one for the Lakers where Hooper just walks up to a guy and shoves him in a lake. And it's so simple. But it's so funny, you know, and we did it. They, you know, I think we had somewhere around 650, 690,000 impressions. So people, you know, who were at least checking out the video. So we were overwhelmed by the success so much so that, and we kept talking in the office about which one is your favorite, which one is your favorite. And I just mentioned my favorite, but everybody seemed to have a different favorite. So then we said, well, let's vote, you know, let's have a vote. And so we put it out there to the vote. The winner was the video for the Miami Heat, where I'll try to do it justice by describing it, but everybody should go online and look at it because it's really, really funny. But there's a young gentleman roasting a marshmallow over a fire, and Hooper comes up with an extinguisher and just kind of puts the flames out in, you know, kind of reference to putting the flames out for the Heat. So it turned out really great. That came out as our fan favorite. And I think you can see them online. You can see all of the videos online right now on our website, pistons.com.
Well, congratulations for your team for coming up with the videos. That did a great job. And the social media team throughout the season, by the way, I want to give props to them. I think that the Pistons do a great job running the Twitter accounts and the Facebook and Instagram as well. And congratulations for putting all that together. Now, take us a little bit behind the scenes with your team. Obviously, Pistons fans listening know all about Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond and following along with the franchise front-facing kind of way. But behind the scenes, what's kind of the makeup of your team like? I would imagine that you have kind of all ages working for you. And what are some of the challenges that you guys are dealing with during the summer as the season approaches here?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We do have a really kind of eclectic group of people, you know, that work not only in the off season on all of the programming and content that we push out through all of our digital channels, you know, Facebook and you know, our website and Twitter, every place that we push content out. But we're also preparing for the in-arena show, which is a really, really big undertaking and takes on a life of its own. And that's really what we're focused on now. So we've got, yes, all ages. We've got five editor producers that work on all of the content that you see, whether it's a Hooper video or a video that runs on the center hung scoreboard or, you know, all of the LEDs. Right now, I will tell you, I'm very excited because we're working on a new open, a new player intro open, which is always kind of the, you know, the crown jewel of your show, if you will. And then we also have our entertainment side. So we have five directors that are in charge of all of our, you know, we have over 100 performers that come out every single night between our dance team, our extreme team, which is the dunkers, our drum line, our mini young dancer team, our mascot. And that takes a lot of coordination when you think about putting that together with the sound and the lights and the video that has to go into all of that. So that's really where our focus is right now, gearing up for that opening night on October 17th.
Now, Diane, what's your background? How long have you been with the Pistons, and have you been maybe with some other franchises in other sports throughout time, or did you grow up in the area and have been with the team for a while?
You know what? This is either a really great story or a really sad story. I have been with the Detroit Pistons. I'm going into my 30th season right now.
Oh, wow.
I started out as an intern when I was still in college. Literally, my first day was the first Piston home game here at the Palace. And I started out as an intern, and then I directed the video board for a while, and then I moved into stage managing and overseeing the entertainment teams, and now I kind of see our entire programming production operation.
Well, all that means is you've seen a lot of success over the years. And
seen a lot of success and a lot of failure, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
more success.
That's what happens over 30 years. So,
Right.
Well, Diane, thanks for taking the time today. I really appreciate it. I want to say congratulations, like, again, because I had actually hadn't gone to many Pistons games at the Palace over the last few years because I was living out of state, so I had the chance to go to a couple games at Little Caesars Arena this year. You mentioned the giant video board. There's a lot of real estate there to take care of for your team. And you guys do a great job with the in-game entertainment there. It's a good time for fans, for all the listeners who missed going to a game in Little Caesars Arena's first year. There's a lot going on outside of the court and the action on the court. So Diane and her team take care of that very well throughout the season. So thanks again for joining us here on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for all the kind words, and thank you for having me.
All right, and now a real treat for the Locked On Pistons listeners, one of the hosts of the Three Gas Bags podcast, an entertaining listen about college football, other sports, and other great life advice as well. Basically a self-help podcast, if you will. The former Times Herald and Hillsdale journalist as well, a fellow CMU grad like myself. I could go on and on. And we might as well, former co-host of the Sports Attack radio show, most Saturdays on WPHM in Port Huron back in the day, my former radio host, my good friend, and the 2009 Pulitzer Prize winner, Paul Costanzo. Thanks for joining us.
Good. You know what? I appreciate you bringing me on this podcast that I won Pulitzer in 2009. I should probably go back in time and collect something for that.
Yeah, well, I've managed to do this podcast for almost a year and resisted the urge to have Paul on, but it's off season right now, so not a lot going on in Pistons land. So we wanted to have the old our old radio cohort on, and for the old fans of the Sports Attack, I'm sure this is a pretty emotional moment.
Definitely, for those three people back home in Port Huron, they're probably crying right now over their phone, I would suppose.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of tears, that's for sure. But, Paul, the big news in Michigan basketball this week, I guess, since there's not a whole lot of news going on, is actually on the high school ranks as Dan Fife, the Clarkston High School coach, stepped down. And I wanted to have you on because you were actually covering his only two state championships, his last two seasons for the Clarkston Wolves, and had Foster Lawyer there and some other really talented kids. What was it like to cover Coach Fife? I have actually seen his teams play a few times when I was covering high schools, and actually when I was in high school as well. But to see him get those last two state championships in a storied career like he had, what was that like to cover those games?
pretty cool. And heard a lot about Dan Fife, obviously being a high school sports reporter in the state of Michigan, and just kind of assumed that he had won state titles. And so when I went and covered the first one, and like after kind of looking into things a little bit more, knowing they were going to be in the final, and then finding out that he had never done it before, I was completely shocked. Because, I mean, here's a guy who has now, retiring, over 700 wins, you know, 30 district titles in 36 seasons, 29 league titles, 13 regional titles. Like, you just assume that programs like that have won. So to cover the first one and see the way that, like, the student section, not just, like, the old-time Clarkson fans, but the student section just loved this man. That was really, really cool to be there at the Breslin to witness that. Because this is obviously, it's a very special program, and he's the reason for it.
But he didn't pull the Scotty Bowman and pull you aside afterwards and say, "Paul, this is it," or anything like that, though?
No, he didn't. He was asked that at both post-game press conferences, and he played pretty coy with it. But you got the feeling with what he had coming back for this past season that 2017 wasn't it for him. But he did not give the scoop to me. He gave it to Mick McCabe, which is probably the right person to give that scoop to.
So, and like you said, Paul, you've been covering preps. You were covering that for MHSAA. You were in the Blue Water area, and we've both been around the Michigan high school sports scene for our entire lives, basically. I mean, where do you rank? I mean, Dan Fife, I mean, there's some coaches from the PSL that are legends as well. But, I mean, do you think that he ranks just as high as anyone, really, in all sports, as far as the longevity, growing up there, playing there himself, going and playing in Michigan, having kids that played in the Big Ten as well? He's got to be right up there with any name as far as coaching in Michigan high school sports history.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, John Harrington at Farmington Hills Harrison is another name that I think prep sports followers, that's the football coach there, that comes up. But, I mean, Dan Fife is right there. And to get the two state titles to close it out, I think just was the cherry on top of a career that we already saw as one of the best ever.
And Paul, like I said, you got the Three Gas Bags podcast that you do with a couple of the other guys from the Port Huron area. I know Matt was a writer for the Times Herald as well, and Will from St. Clair, so a Blue Water area touch there. But like I said, a lot about college football, as it's pretty much your number one sport that you follow. You're a Notre Dame guy and follow the other area teams very closely, and those guys are Michigan State alums that are diehard green and white. So we got 2 weeks in the books for all the Notre Dame, Michigan, and Michigan State fans up and down for all three of those teams. What have you been surprised about through 2 weeks of college football for the locals so far?
I mean, I think how far Michigan State has to go offensively, that has surprised me with their offensive line. And then really their pass rush has been kind of non-existent, which also surprised me. With Michigan, you know, I think that the offense has a long way to go still. I know that they kind of blew up against Western Michigan, but again, that's Michigan. So we'll see what they can do moving forward as Shea Patterson grows. So I think I've seen what I see from them. I've seen pretty much exactly what I thought I would see out of Notre Dame, a stout defense and, you know, an offense that is going to live or die with whether or not Brandon Wimbush can complete passes or run for first downs. So really, Michigan State's been the only big-time surprise for me. And unfortunately for State fans, it's been a not-so-pleasant surprise.
Now, Paul, we've talked about it on this podcast. You guys talk about it on your podcast all the time. The Detroit sports scene right now, it's just a complete mess. I mean, you've got, I think we all had a little bit of hope that the Lions would be pretty good, and surprising after week one that so many of us, and I'll throw myself in my group, that we're kind of giving up on this team already after week one, which seems silly in a 16-week season. I mean, is there anything you can offer us as far as hope for A, the Lions, or B, any of these teams right now? And I know the Pistons, we got a Pistons podcast here. We got a lot of fans that are excited. And I'm, you know, excited in some ways too, that maybe this could be a slightly above average team, possibly even solidly above average team and a best case scenario in the NBA. But can you talk us off the ledge here a little bit?
Right on the edge there with you. So it's hard for me to be the one to talk folks off of it. But I think the positives are the Pistons are probably a playoff team in the East. It's, you know, whether or not you like the fact that they are a low playoff seed, I mean, that's an argument that people make, they, whether or not they think it's worth it to get in as the 7 or 8 seed or not. And whether it's worth it or not to get in as the 7 or 8 seed in the playoffs is, you know, questionable. And I think that that's a debate that a lot of people have. And if you're a Red Wings fan, you're excited because Steve Yzerman just resigned as GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So maybe he's coming home. But other than that, there's not a ton to look forward to as a Detroit sports fan.
Well, what do you think about those Pistons, Paul? Like I said, you don't follow the team maybe on a day-to-day basis as some of us who host podcasts about the team every day, or maybe some of the listeners out there who are fans to the very end and have stuck with this team through the last decade. As kind of a guy who maybe takes a little bit of a bird's eye view of the Pistons right now, what do you think, other than the obvious, you know, fan getting some wins, getting some winning streaks going, some solid play at home, is there something about this team that you're interested in that you think might bring back a fan at your level, or maybe even a more casual fan, back to bringing this Pistons team and this franchise back to life?
Yeah, I think, you know, the interesting thing for me is what's Grant Casey going to do in his first year. That's interesting. But also, you know, having Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin and how they coexist in year two, that's something interesting to watch. I think there's plenty of interesting things about the Pistons. It's just the question for me, and not knowing the ins and outs of the team like you do. I mean, I get my information on the Pistons from this podcast, but just wondering if they are a team that's ready to start competing again for more than just sneaking into the playoffs. So that's where I sit with this team.
All right, and we got Paul Costanzo here, the Three Gas Bags, one of the co-hosts. Paul, why don't you tell us how to find the podcast and what you guys got cooked up for the next few weeks?
Well, the first way to find us, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can get a podcast, we're there. We're on SoundCloud. But really, for us right now, the big focus has been college football, and then hopefully this next episode that comes out Friday, we'll be talking about the Lions and probably complaining a lot. I think that's going to be the big thing.
Were you one of these guys who was all in on Matt Patricia, or kind of in on Matt Patricia? What was your mindset before Monday night's game?
I came into this season thinking that they were going to be pretty bad. And I'm an odd person where I thought it was time probably for Jim Caldwell to go, but I was not sold on the Matt Patricia hire either. Because I'm not a big Belichick assistant guy. I hope it turns around and works out. But for now, personally, it feels like my feelings were correct. So, yeah, I'm not a big Matt Patricia guy at all.
Hard to believe that as a big Notre Dame fan, you wouldn't be a big Belichick assistant guy, but I digress from
that. Maybe I'm scarred. It could be.
There was a big, big Belichick assistant that was a big, big part of your life for a little while. I don't know if you remember that. But Paul Costanzo, you can find him on Twitter at Paul Costanzo, one of my good buddies. Thanks for taking the time. We'll do this more throughout the season, as I know that the state of Michigan has been missing them, some sports attack, and the next reincarnation, which is your appearances here on the podcast. Any parting words of advice for fans as they get ready for the season to start?
I think you always just got to make sure you stock up on booze and, you know, be ready to have a good time, whether or not the game goes your way or not. That's the only way to watch Detroit sports nowadays.
Well, it's spoken like a true Chippewa, Paul Costanzo with the booze, the booze talk there. But thanks for joining us, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, thanks to Paul for joining us, and also to Diane Ferrani of the Detroit Pistons organization. And remember, check out Detroit Sports Collectibles in Clawson this weekend. They got the hats, the Made in Detroit shirts, the golf simulator, the all sports simulator, the football figurines, the music posters, the Lambeer and Mahorn poster from the Bad Boys days, all the championship free press front pages posters as well, all the beer hats. Just great stuff that you didn't know that you needed, but you definitely do. DetroitCollectibles.net. You can visit them online as well. Jim and Ann will be there all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go check them out before 5 o'clock. You can also give them a phone call at 844-238-6277. Again, 844-238-6277. You can set up an appointment to meet them at Detroit Sports Collectibles at 661 South Main Street in Clawson, just south of 14 Mile, 661 South Main Street on just south of 14 Mile in Clawson. Again, 844-238-6277. Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles have all you need. But I appreciate you guys listening. Have a great weekend. This is Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, and we'll talk to you soon, everyone.